6, פסוק חופלת. ואומר הדור האחרון, and the last generation will say, apparently it means the last generation living in Eretz Israel. What will they say? בניכם אשר יקומו מאחריכם, והנוכרי, and also the Gentile, they'll also say something. אשר יבואו מארץ רחוקה, the Gentile will come from faraway land. ורואו את מכות הארץ ההיא ואת תחלואיה אשר הכין השם בה, all the bad things that happened to the land of Eretz Israel. And in Pasuk Chof Beis it describes what happens to Eretz Israel, כמפי חסדים ואמור, etc., etc. So what will they say, the last generation of Jews and the Gentiles in Pasuk Chof Gimel? ואומרו כל הגויים, על מי עושו השם כוחו לארץ הזאת? Why did Hashem do all these things to the land? Mechori ho'af ha'godol hazeh. Why is God so angry? Why was God so angry? And in Pasuk Chof Dalet, ve'omru al asher ozvu es bris Hashem Elokei Avosom. It's because they abandoned the pact with Hashem, the God of their forefathers, אשר קורסי מומבו יצרימו שם ואוהש מצרים, וילכו ויעבדו אלוהים אחרים, and they worshipped other idols, וישתחו לו המלים, אשר לא ידעו, אלוהים אשר לא ידעו, ולחולק להם, etc., etc., ויחר השם, אף השם בו בארץ ההיא, להביא עולה אסכולק ללא, etc., etc. So what is this? This ואומרו of Pasuk 23, and the ואומרו of Pasuk 24. On the surface, it sounds like a question and answer. It's like a rhetorical question, because they know the answer. You see, in Pasuk 24, they know the answer. If it says in Pasuk 24 the answer, and in Pasuk 23 the question, doesn't it sound like a rhetorical question? It was a question that I know the answer. It's like I tell you, do you know why the Jews were thrown out of the land? I'm not expecting an answer. It's a rhetorical question. Because the Jews transgressed their commandments. Yes? But if this would be so, that the question in Pasuk 23 is only a rhetorical question, and it's only an introduction to the answer of Pasuk number 24, then the Ve'omru of Pasuk number 24 doesn't fit in. Though you wouldn't have had twice the word Ve'omru, because it would have been part of one saying. In other words, in Pasuk number 23, it should have said, Ve'omru kol ha'goyim, al me'osu Hashem kocho, etc., etc., al asher ozvu et bris Hashem. Why would you have twice the Ve'omru? So the twice Ve'omru is extremely difficult. So, in order to understand that the two psukim, 23 and 24, are two different situations completely, we'll have to see in the Novi Yechezkel at which point in time this will come about. Pasuk number 24 is a prophecy that at a certain point in time the goyim, the omru, al asher ozvu es bris Hashem Elokei Avosom, asher korasi mom goyitzio esom eretz Mitzrayim, that at a certain point in time it will happen. At which point in time will this happen? Okay? In Galut itself? Well, let's see in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel we have a description of Pasuk number 24. This is what I want to read to you. I'll read to you a portion in Yechezkel that fits perfectly with the Pasuk number 24. I'm reading here from chapter 39 of Yechezkel. Chapter 39 starts with Ve'ato ben Odom hinovei al goyim Ve'omarto Ko yomar Hashem Elokim Hinei elecho goyim. I'll skip the only certain psukim. I will tell you goyim that you should go and attack the people living in Eretz Israel. Now, Goy will go attack the people who are in Eretz Israel. But because of that, because you are going to be leading the fight against the people in Eretz Israel, therefore, in Posuk Dalet, Al Horei Yisrael Tipoil, this will be your downfall. The final downfall of Goy will be his desire, his plan to conquer Eretz Israel. And then Yechezkel describes the tremendous downfall of Goy. What will happen to Goy and his army? Posuk Vov, Zion. And in Posuk Zion, it says like this. And finally, once Goy will be completely destroyed, the Shem Kodeshi Oidia Besoichami Israel, it will finally be, my name will finally be sanctified among the Jewish people. Because up to this point, my name wasn't sanctified. My name was desecrated. There was a Chilul Hashem. Ve'yodu ha'goyim ki ani Hashem kodosh b'Yisrael. And when the Jews will realize it, then the goyim will realize. And he repeats it. In the same chapter 39, in Posuk Chofei, for instance, or even before, Posuk Chofei. V'nosati es kvoidi bagoyim, v'rou kol hagoyim es mishpoti asher osisi, etc., etc. V'yodu beis Yisrael ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, min hayoyim ha'hu v'holo. From that day onwards, the Jews will realize that everything that happened to them is because there is a God who takes care of them. Implication, that up to this day, up to the downfall of Goy, the Jews will experience all those things that I'm describing, thinking that it just happened. It's our credit, it's a historical accident, but they will not assign what happened to Hashem until after the downfall of Goy. And when they will recognize that everything is from Hashem, v'yodu ha'goyim, then the Gentiles will recognize, listen carefully, ki be'avoinom golu beis Israel, that the reason why the Jews had to go into exile is because they sinned. Al asher mo'alu bi, because they desecrated Hashem's holiness. V'astir ponai mehem, then I had to cover my face from them. V'etnein b'yatzoreihem. So Posuk Chof Gimel of chapter Lamedes of Yechezkel is an exact description of Posuk Chof Dalet of our Parsha. Ve'omru al asher ozvu es briyas Hashem Elokei avosom. So therefore, when is this happening? According to Yechezkel, when is Posuk Chof Dalet happening? After the downfall of Goy. When is Posuk Chof Gimel happening? When is, does the question arise? In the beginning of the exile, by the destruction of the land of Israel. So between Posuk 23 and 24, there is a whole exile in between. So in order to tell you that those are two statements, that one has nothing to do with the other, it tells you twice the word Ve'omru, which means there is a Ve'omru in the beginning. And in the beginning it will be an unanswered question. It will just be a question of, you see, it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. That the Jews were punished so much. Are they so bad? Right? They're not so bad. So how come it happened? So this is Posuk number 23. As opposed to Posuk number 24, which is when after the Milchemes Goyim u'Magoyim, they will have the answer. Okay? So this is why there is twice the word Omru. Now, remember this part of Yechezkel, right? Remember the order. That until the downfall of Goyim, a lot of things will happen to the Jewish people, but they will not see it as the hand of Hashem. They will not see it as the hand of Hashem. So let's go on now. 2, we're going to come back again later tomorrow to chapter 29, but it's Noigea, this chapter of Yechezkel. This is why I want to go on now to chapter 30. Chapter 30 is called the chapter of Tshuven. Tshuven, the return. Vehoyo ki yovoyu olecho kol hadvorim ho'eile. Habrocho vehaklolo. When all these things that I am predicting will come about, the good things and the bad things, there are many good things too, but the good things and the best, the bad things will come about. Asher nosat lefonecho. Vahasheivoiso elevovecho bechol agoyim asher hidichachu Hashem elokecho shom. And you will bring it back to your heart. All those things that happen, it will finally touch your heart, which means it will come a point in time when all the occurrences that will that the Jews will have to go through will finally reach your heart, and it will do something to your heart. What will it do? In Pasuk Bet, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecho, you'll do tshuva. Eventually, events will push you to do tshuva. V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecho. V'shomato bekoiloi, and you will listen to His voice. Kechol asher anochi mitzavcho hayom. This is already not so clear. What does the kechol mean? What does the word ke? What does the letter ke imply? Kemoi, as, like someone who listens to all the commands. But what do you mean? What does it say? V'shomato bekoiloi, bekol asher anochi mitzavcho hayom. Why kechol? The chof is called the chaf adimion. Somebody who is compared to someone who fulfills the commandments. So when you will do tshuva, the shov Hashem elokecho, Hashem will also do tshuva. You know the double meaning of tshuva. He will also be shov. He will return you. He will bring you back to Eretz Israel. You will do tshuva, you will return to Him, He will return you to Eretz Israel. V'shov Hashem Elokecho, es shevuscho, v'richamecho. V'shov v'kipetzcho mikol ha'amim, from all the nations. This is a proof that we are not talking about Golus Bavel, that the concentration of Jews was in one land. We are talking, like the Ramban says, about the final goals, where we are going to be mikoloami, we are going to be throughout the world. Mikoloami asher hefitzcho Hashem Elokecho shomo. Fine. So we did tshuva, so Hashem brought us back into Eretz Israel. Let's go on to pasuk number 4. Im ihye nidachacho b'kzei hashomayim, if you will be dispersed to the corners of heaven. That's not how you describe it. How would you say it? Corners of the earth. Now, come from Miktzei Horetz. Why Miktzei HaShomayim? Now, we know that whenever it uses Shomayim, it's a hint, it's a reference to what? To the spiritual life of the Jew. So what can it mean? If you will be at dispersed HaShomayim, Miktzei HaShomayim, spiritually, culturally, you will be so dispersed culturally, Hashem will bring you back from those diverse cultures. That already doesn't make sense, because the Jews already did tshuva in Posuk Bet, in Posuk 2. If they are still dispersed spiritually, then they didn't do tshuva yet. What? That's a little bit it's strange, no? They did tshuva in Posuk 2. Then Hashem gathered the exile. So what is it doing in Posuk number 4? In Posuk number 5, V'yabiyachu Hashem Elokecho, Lord Zashe Yorshu Avoisecho, V'yirishto, V'yitivcho, V'yirbecho Me'avoisecho. Then Hashem will bring you all together. And in Posuk 6, Umol Hashem Elokecho, Eslevovcho, Veslevav Zarecho. In Hashem will circumcise your heart. What does it mean, the circumcision of the heart? Say the Meforshim, it means the purification of the Jewish heart, the purification. So again, is this some kind of a tshuva again? But we did tshuva in Posuk 2 already. No, it's another type of a tshuva. What is it? What kind of a tshuva is this? Then it says like this, Posuk Zayin. Venosan Hashem Elokecho es kol holoi so'ele, aloi becho, ve'al so'inego jero dofucho. Then your enemies will finally fall. That will be the final fall of your enemies. In Posuk Zayin. So again, what is the chronology here? We will do tshuva in Posuk 2. Then we'll be in, there will be an ingathering. And obviously, in Posuk Bo, what do you mean? Umol Hashem Elokecho es lovo es lazda vecho v'nosen Hashem Elokecho es koloi so'ele aloi vecho. So obviously we are going to be attacked by some enemy. But we did tshuva already before. Why do we have to be attacked by enemies? Here's the problem. And in Posuk Chet, ve'atoto shuv. Veshomato v'koil Hashem. I mean, that doesn't make sense at all. I mean, what do you mean ve'atoto shuv? We already did tshuva long before in Posuk 2. Again, we are doing tshuva. And in Posuk Yud, the conclusion: Kisishma v'koil Hashem Elokecho. When you listen to the voice of Hashem, lishmor mitzvos v'chukoso v'aksuv sevatur hazeh, kiso shuv. El Hashem Elokecho. Again, we are doing tshuva. So, if you compare, I once heard it, b'shem, I never saw it written down, but I heard it, b'shem, the one who was the first chief, Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Kook. But, I mean, I heard just the observation that I'm going to tell you right away. The rest I'm just putting together. His observation was the comparison between Posuk 2 and Posuk 10. In Posuk 10, when he describes our tshuva, how is it described? Kisoshuv el Hashem Elokecha. How is the tshuva described in Posuk 2? Ad Hashem Elokecha. How would we differentiate between returning El Hashem or returning Ad Hashem? Oh, so it says like this. The Gemara says in Brochus that there is a question. Whenever it says Ad, I'll give you an example. For instance, if I tell you, I will come at by the third hour, right? Or you can daven Shachris in the morning Ad Shor Revis, until the fourth hour of the day. What does it mean, until the fourth hour of the day? Including the fourth hour or excluding the fourth hour? It's a question. We don't know. Ad ve'ad bichlal, does ad mean including? Or is ad ve'loy ad bichlal? We don't know. We don't know. Which means that the word ad may mean exclusive. And it makes sense, right? That the word ad can mean up to but not including, right? So why would you say that the Torah would use the word ad in Posuk 2 and the word el in Posuk 10? Obviously, it's describing two types of tshuva. The question is, how could we describe a tshuva up to God but not including God? How would you describe such a tshuva? The service sounds ridiculous. If you are doing tshuva, it's a tshuva el Hashem. How can there be a tshuva up to and not including Hashem? So this is what I heard from in the name of Rav Kook, which is I think is an absolutely brilliant thought. You know that Rav Kook was a leader of the religious Zionists. And he had tremendous insights to justify Zionism, even secular Zionism, within Torah. That was to make sense from secular Zionism in Torah. What place does secular Zionism have within Torah? So he had the following insight. He said like this. The Jews were in exile. Completely secular, unreligious Jews. Something pushed them to come back to the land of Israel. Right? What is it? We believe, they don't know it, but we believe that this is the basic relationship that they have with God that is pushing them to come back to the land of Israel. They, in their mind, they rationalize it. They have all kinds of reasons why they are coming back to Israel. But do we know the real truth why they're coming back to Israel? Because of the basic relationship that they have with God, the basic commitment to come back to the land that God promised them. So in a way, it's a tshuva, it's a type of a tshuva, it's a return to the source, it's a return to the past. But God is not part of that return. It's a return, but up to God, but not inclusive. Right? So in a way, they don't know it, but they are listening to the voice of God. Right? And they are listening to His commandment, but they are doing it for another reason. This is why in verse number 2, it doesn't say they will listen kechol asher nechim etzavcho. Don't say kol asher nechim etzavcho. Kechol. They are doing it as if it would be a commandment, but not quite. What do you mean? Either it is or it isn't. It is, but they are not doing it for that purpose. Okay? So he says that verse number 2 represents this stage of tshuva, when we are doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. We are coming back to our Israel, even though we don't have the right reason. So our tshuva doesn't include God. But that's the first step, he says. Okay? Now, I just heard something which is really amazing, that they figured out that in Pasuk 3, what? You heard about it? That if you add up all the psukim in the Torah, Pasuk 3, Veshov Hashem Elokecha Shuv, God will gather you, right? It's the Pasuk 5,708.
The gematria of all the words in the...
No. If you count all psukim, you know, at the end of each part, he tells you how many psukim breaks, he says, Noyah, you know, Lech Lecho. Add it all up. It will come, and then you come to Parshas Nitzavi. The Pasuk 3 is the Pasuk 5,708. I mean, since you can just, it'll take you a little time, you can figure it out yourself. I never did it. Just what I, right? Which means, according to this, that if this simon is correct, then Pasuk 3 is 1948. 5,708 is 1948, the establishment of the state. What? No. That's the Pasuk which says, Veshov Hashem Elokecha Shivushcho. God will gather you from all the nations. So, I was thinking, but according to Rav Kook, it answers the question. Because on the surface, it's very difficult. Was there a tshuva before 1948? If you understand the Pasuk too literally, that the Jews will do tshuva before the ingathering, then the simon doesn't work out, because there was no tshuva before 1948. But if you learn Rav Kook's pshat in tshuva, tshuva ad Hashem, then the chronology is perfect. First there was a tshuva, there was a Zionist movement, which was a tshuva which does not include God, is a tshuva up to but not including God. Then there is an ingathering. Okay, so it fits perfectly. The only problem is, what will happen between the tshuva, between Pasuk 3, which is the matzah we are in right now, and Pasuk 10, which is the final matzah. So the Torah itself is not clear, right? The Torah only gives you hints. What is the hint of the Torah? The hint of the Torah is, in Pasuk 7, V'nosan Hashem Elokecho es kol ho'olo yisoele al oivecho v'al soinecho asher redofucho. It just hints to you that there will be enemies, but there is no description. The description is Sefer Yecheskel. If you really want to know Pshat in chapter Lamed of Parshas Nitzavim, you must turn to the Sefer Yecheskel, because in the Sefer Yecheskel it tells you clearly what will happen before the Jews will actually turn to God.
Before the Mashiach.
Before, now is before the Messianic era, before the Mashiach will come. Goyim will come, right? And it will be a pretty difficult experience. Now, I just want to tell you before, we have a cloud. All the good things that the prophets tell us must happen. All the bad things that the prophets tell us is never a certainty. It's only a warning. Did you know that this is a cloud? This is a cloud. All the bad prophecies in Yirmiyahu, in Yechezkel, even in the Torah, they are not a certainty. They don't have to happen. It's up to us. We can change the course of history. And that will not happen. Now, you cannot show that a prophet is unreliable by the fact that a bad prophecy didn't come true. Only when a good prophecy did come true, then you show, you say, oh, it's not reliable. Because all the bad things that the prophets prophesy are only warnings. So therefore, even goy gumokoy doesn't have to happen. It's a warning that unless we take matters into our own hands, it will happen. Point is like this. It says that Hashem will circumcise our heart. Question is, how will it happen? It will either happen because we will give him the opportunity, or because events will force us into such a situation. What the prophet Yechezkel is prophesying is what will be those events, what will be the events that will force you to purify your heart. You'll have no choice whatsoever. So this is what the whole description of Milchemes Goy Gumogoy, which is really, I mean, if you have the time to go through chapter Lamed Vov, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, Mem in Yechezkel, it's absolutely amazing. It's you know, it's good to read it before Rosh Hashanah, actually. Basically, of course, I mean, it describes, and I'll read to you what it describes, and you draw your own conclusions. The fire that will fall from Mishamayim, and that kol choy malorets tipoil, every single structure will just fall. But val har tzion tiyeh pleito. But don't worry, if you're in har tzion, you don't have to worry about it. But in any way, it says, the roadu miponeo de gei hayon. It will be the fire that will fall from heaven, that will shake every structure, will even cause the fish in the sea to shake. It's very scary. It's very scary because it's describing something which is that whoever read it before our era said, well, he says it, you know, he probably knows what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. Today we know exactly what he's talking about. Today we have no doubt. Today we understand it better than our ancestors understood it. That is in Yoel. Timroi Oshel is in Yoel. I mean, he's not the only one who talks about that period. Dam vo eish v'simroi Oshon is Yoel's description of this era. Timroi Oshon, the smoke in the shape of the date of the palm tree. That's how we describe this era. So this is what will bring about, and only after that, v'yodu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, which means that umol Hashem Elokeichem levokom, is only after the toshuv el Hashem, is only after you go through all those experiences. You will be so overwhelmed by those experiences that you'll have no choice. I don't know. There is no way that you get there. You know what the Rambam says. Those things will only become clarified once they happen. That's what that's what the Rambam says. That all those things that predict exactly what will happen, right, will only be known clearly once they happen. Then we know that, you know, oh, that's what it meant. Before that, it's just hints. That's all. I just wanted to add one point concerning Posuk Chovot in the chapter before. Chapter of this. This is what the Goyim will say afterwards. Right? Remember, this Milchemes Goy Gumogoy will not have a tremendous effect only on the Jews. The Gentiles will also be extremely affected by Milchemes Goy Gumogoy. That's how in our Parsha we see that the Gentiles will be affected by it. And in Yechsefer Yecheskel, the Yodu, they'll only know me, Yoim Hazeh Ve'olo, that Hashem Hu Elokim. Okay? Yeah, right. Point is like this. In Posuk Chovov, it says like this, that the Goyim will say, the Jews were thrown out because they sinned. Vayicharaf Hashem Bo'oretz Ahi, and therefore God got angry at the land. What should it have said? The people, why does it say God got angry at the land? The land did something wrong. What does it mean God got angry at the land? So it says in the Mefarshim the following. You know that there is a Mizmor in Tehillim. I wanted to write it down, which number it is. Mizmor le'osof, a Mizmor, a song to Osof, bo goyim benachalosecho. The Gentiles came, destroyed your Migdosh, your Beis Hamigdosh, as the Gemore. Mizmor Le'osov, it's a song. A song is usually an expression of happiness. Kino Le'osov mi boile. It should be a dirge, what would you call it? A lamentation, not a song. So the Gemore's answer is shocking. No, we are very happy that the Beis Hamigdosh was destroyed. It's very good for us. Because instead of venting his anger against us, he vented his anger against wood and stone, against the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash became our substitute. So we are very happy that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Do you hear this answer of the Gemara? Mizmor, we are happy. It means that under the circumstances, even in the tragedy of the destruction of the temple, there is a good point. There is a happy point that it was the temple and it wasn't us. Because no matter how holy the temple is, the Jews are holier. So this is Pshat Ovidya. In Pasuk of Gimel, the Omru Kol HaGoyim, the Goyim will come and give an answer, Pasuk of Dalet. Why did Hashem do it? So they will say, look how Hashem did it. By the anger of Hashem, instead of going against the people were exiled and saved. You know how what he vented the anger against? Vayecharav Hashem bo'oretzayi. That the klolot should go against the land. Implication? Not against the Jews. This is the greatness of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. That even when he's angry at them, he directs his anger in such a way that the effect on the Jewish people should still be minimal. This is part of their recognition of the greatness of the Hashgoche of Hashem. There is one more horror. If you take a look again in Posuk Chof Aleph of chapter 29, again we are talking about the Dor Acharoyim, the last generation of Jews on the land of Israel. The Omar Hador Ho Acharoyim, the last generation of Jews. Beneichem asher yokumu meyachareichem. The word meyachareichem is extremely difficult. What does it mean? Beneichem, your descendants. What does it mean meyachareichem? So the Mefarshim say here, you see, what is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to tell the Jews of this generation, of his generation?
Dor Acharon is referring to who?
The last generation of Jews on the land of Israel. When? You know, in the future. Now, the Jews will go into the land of Israel. They'll stay there 1,000 years, and then they will be exiled. So the last generation of Jews will be surprised, and they will say, why did it happen to us? So why does he add the word, Mei Acharechem, your descendants? Bnechem doesn't mean your children. It means your descendants. Your descendants that will establish themselves, Mei Acharechem. What do you mean?
Isn't that Acharechem usually mean that they abandoned him?
From again?
Isn't Acharechem mean that who Acharechem that abandoned you?
Better?
Abandon
you. May Acharechem. In a way, you're right, but there is something else, you see. He is telling the Jews right now in his generation that you should know that even though today everybody is a tzaddik, that you are all tzaddikim. Right? You're all tzaddikim. What I am afraid is not about your actions. Your actions are all good. I am afraid about your lev, your heart. Perhaps there is someone amongst you whose heart turned away from God. It's not exactly in the right place. So you should know, even though it will not affect your own life, your heart, which is not perfect, will have an effect in future generations. Right? So I'm warning you. Unless you rectify your heart now, right, it will have an effect by your great-great-grandchildren, right? So therefore, what is he trying to tell them then? That it's basically your responsibility. What happens to that generation is your responsibility. So in a way, it will be your fault that they will turn away and worship other idols, but really they will be turning away from you. Because you are worshippers of Hashem, not of the idols. So you will be establishing a generation that will go against your own principles. You hear the pshat? This is pshat. The Omar Hador Acharoy. Who will that be? Beneichem Asher Yokumu. They will be established by your actions now, or by your thoughts now. Meyachareichem, but they will be turning away from you, and they will be turning to idols. Okay. In other words, what he's warning them is that even though they are tzaddikim, the machshove of avodah zarah has an effect on future generations. Okay? This is one thing, and just since we have another few minutes, let me tell you the different pshatim in Posuk Chof Ches, which is the last Posuk of chapter 29. Hanistorois l'Hashem Elokeinu. Hidden matters are for God. The hanigloys lo nulvoneinu adoy lo. But things that are obvious, it's our responsibility and our children's responsibility. La sois es kol divrei haTorah hazois. This is an extremely difficult pasuk because it has absolutely no connection, neither to the chapter before or the chapter after. It's absolutely no connection to anything. What do you mean hanistorois l'Hashem Elokeinu? What does that have to do with what we just finished saying? The theme of the chapter before is our responsibility for future generations. The chapter after is tshuva, how eventually the Jews will return. What does Vaniklis and historical Hashem Elokeinu Vaniklis Lenu Vaneinu Adoy Lo? So Rashi has the following pshat. Posuk Chofes, Hanistorois Hashem Elokeinu, says Rashi. Yes, it does have a connection to the psukim before. Because in Toimru, perhaps you will say the following. What can we do? Atomani shesorabi malirure ayomim. It's very unfair, God, what you are doing. You are saying, perhaps there is someone whose heart turned away from God. Therefore, you should know that you will go into exile. So I have to go into exile because he had the wrong thoughts? Right? That's what you might be asking. So this is your answer, says Rashi. Shenemar pen yesh bochenish ve'achar kach ve'rois makosoret zayiv ve'haloi eino dom yoidea b'matmoino shel chaveroi. How do you know what's going on in his heart? So let me calm you down. Ein ani manish eschem al anistoris. If you have no possible way of knowing what's going on in his heart, you will never be punished. Sheheim l'Hashem Elokeinu. Only God will take care of it. Ve'hui yifram yoyso yofi. Avol hanigloys. Sometimes what's in a person's heart, you can tell. You can see by his behavior, even though he doesn't serve idols, he doesn't worship idols. But you can see by his behavior. If you don't do anything about it, then you are responsible for the nigloys. This is what our Rashi says. I saw in the Ksav Sofer that there is another pshat in the connection. Because in Posuk Chof Zayin, right, it's talking about the exile. By Chaim Hashem Me'al Admosom, Be'av V'chemu V'ketzev Godoil, V'yashlichem El Eretz Acheres, Kayoim Hazeh, like today. But when will the Gentiles be saying that? After the end of the exile. So maybe you will wonder, so when will that come? So let me tell you that there are two possible dates. There is a date which is Nistor and a date which is Niglor. The Nistor date, the hidden date, I'll never tell you. That is a certain date that only God knows. No human being will ever know it, so therefore don't bother trying to find out which that date is. But there is another date. And that date of the Mashiach is flexible. It's completely up to us. Whenever we decide, then that will be the day that Mashiach will come. That's called Aniglois. So this is how it fits it in. Right? Posuk Chof Zayin tells you, and the Jews were exiled throughout the world. So you will wonder, so when will it all end? So let me tell you. Hanistorois, the hidden matters, which means the hidden date of when Mashiach will come. L'Hashem Elokeinu. Don't even bother trying to find out where it is. But the Hanigloish, the open date, It can either be this generation if we want to, or next generation if they want to. Lo nos moneno ad egom. What do we have to do? La sois es called the Brei HaTorah Azois. Just do the Torah and you will know when the end of exile is. This is how the Ksav Sofer connects this pasuk to the subject before. Okay, we'll sit up here.
What is the
class
from the...
Lo nos moneno. Rashi said it. Rashi said that Lonel Boneno means that the responsibility didn't start at that point, but later on. It's a hint that there is a difference when the obligations to take care of the next person, called Kodisola Ravens, and the responsibility didn't start when Moshe said it, but after the course of the Jordan. So the dots are just like a hint that this is not the right place, it really belongs.